Alrighty, Joel Radio's back. Here we are, yes. America's favorite podcast, as voted as voted by you, the fans of JoelRadio.net. Thank you.
Absolutely.
We just had that big poll.
Take that, Marin.
I'm writing my speech, my acceptance speech.
Take that, guys, we fucked.
Is that an actual podcast? Yeah.
Suck on this, Invisibilia.
Yes. I'm surprised I haven't been invited to Guys We Fucked.
How about you bite me? Wait, don't tell me.
You didn't get my joke, but that's okay.
Well, oh, yeah, no, you were...
I'm waiting for that invite.
It's in the mail.
All right, Joel Radio's back. Corey Hall sitting
there. Take
it.
Nobody likes onions.
Oh, my goodness. That war is continuing.
Our old enemy.
You always, like, you default to old podcast talk. I start the show. We have a little meeting. We're talking about what we're going to talk about. And then I mention the word podcast, and it's 2005 all.
Kiss my grits, Dawn and Drew.
All right, let's move along here.
The PK and J show.
I can assure you no one cares.
No, I'd not actually. We saw a clip that involved on YouTube. We both saw a clip that involved Nobody Likes Onions.
Well, look, I mean,
Patrick, who we had a... a friendly kind of relationship with, then a rivalry, and then
our accusation always, because I'm down. You drag me into the swamp here, brother. I got a whole bunch of fun stuff to talk about, and Corey's dragging me in. I got to talk about Gilbert Gottfried. We're going to be interviewing him soon.
Ow!
But here's the thing.
Ow!
Our thing with him is that we thought he was cooking the likes or the he was cooking the popularity of his show on podcastalley.com, which therefore was getting him all these listeners because they were going, what's the most popular show? And here he was with all of his fake listens. And he was and I think we were at some point, we were in the mix of top shows. I mean, we got votes. It's not like we weren't there, but we would be, you know, in the 20s or something, and he was number one. I mean, granted, there was 200 shows, and probably only half of them were on that thing.
We are so old in the early days of podcasting.
It was run by, like, a website called Podcast Alley. It really was.
You could put, there was Podcast Alley and Podcast Pickle was the rival.
Oh, but Alley was the big one.
Alley was, yes.
It was the big one.
They were the King Kong on the block, but you also had Podcast Pickle, and then you had a couple others after that. But, and everybody was on Libsyn.
Well, people still do. Libsyn is
I'm just saying this was before iTunes or Spotify.
Yeah, it was before iTunes.
Anybody was, you know, Stitcher, anybody.
You
was,
had to do it like the way we still do it, which is we pay a company to host our stuff and we use that.
And
although
nobody had iPhones.
No.
People would literally, it was called a podcast because you'd download it to your iPod.
Yeah. Well, we would make our shows.
By the way, podcasting has outlived the iPod.
Yes, the iPod is gone. Podcasting.
Hey, by the way, the iPod, a brilliant idea that somehow they figured out a way to get rid of.
Well, they figured out that the iPhone just replaced. You know, the phone made so many things obsolete, including the very thing that Apple was making. So I guess that's. But here's. And then we would make our show less than 70 minutes to fit on a CD because a lot of our friends didn't have iPods and they wanted to listen.
Those were the good old days.
And you would burn the show onto a disc and then put that in your car and listen to it that way,
less
which
than
is
70
completely
minutes
insane.
Of this crap. Oh.
Now we do 3 hours because we're maniacs. We're going to not do 3 hours today, but some days. But anyway, so Patrick Melton was a guy that was like kind of cooking the books. In our opinion, To give himself more, make himself look more popular, you know, by bot farming votes on Podcast Alley.
Who was that one douche that we hated?
Well, there was Bib and Yaz that we hated.
Oh, Bib and Yaz.
Bib and Yaz we hated, yes.
What happened to them?
I don't know.
No, there was a
Bib, I believe Bib is the president of the United States, and I don't know what happened to Yaz. Yaz is.
He's the secretary of the United There's a...
Yaz is running the NFL. He's Roger Goodell.
They're on an FM station in Tacoma.
Yeah, well, but you know, and then so
there's a no. There was one guy. It was just a one guy, one word name guy.
Ferg?
Ferg.
Air Ferg.
Air Ferg.
Air Ferg.
There was a great show. God, the golden days of podcasting.
Well, I have all of us busting those guys'
yeah,
shots.
Yeah, and then so then we decided to have a mailing list bonus list. We had a... This, by the way,
it was a Patreon bonus feature, essentially, even
right.
though it wasn't
even
Patreon.
Though nobody was giving. Then we only later did we figure out to ask people for money. And,
yeah,
and we're gonna ask them for money.
Corey's
again.
Insisting that we ask you for money. Corey is not
yes.
me.
Yes,
it's my show. My name's on it. Corey yeah. wants your money.
I'm seeing no talents ask for money all the time.
But if they give money, they're giving it to me. How do you get that money? I have to give it to you.
I gotta.
Is that the way this works?
Yeah, I'm gonna squeeze a little.
They
bit
They give
out
it
of you.
To me, and I give it to you.
Yeah.
I want to give Look, it to Ted Moss.
We should be getting super chats right now. I'm Ted Moss. Fucking.
Oh, what is a super chat?
What's a super? What are you, old?
Do I have to go live on a camera with a vibrator? Yeah, what do I? Yeah. How do I get a super chat?
No, you go live and you get a super chat.
Yeah. Fucking, people, I don't want a super
people
chat.
People pay you money.
I don't want to go live. I don't want a super chat.
This is how you gotta monetize.
But
the
I'm
business.
Not a Fortnite streamer,
anyway,
motherfucker. I'm doing a show as a comedian.
Which is, you're doing it for free. Like
I
an
am
open
doing
micer.
It for free.
Patreon.
Oh, fuck you.
Let's set it up. All right.
Should I talk about more about Patrick Melton and why he's in the news or
yeah,
not?
Yeah, I was just going to say
No,
that.
But he basically, you were... So now he's one of those guys that does the live thing with the streaming video, and he appears like he's built a studio. And look, that's all fine and good. You have to remember, though.
And I
these
will
These guys
say this
that
about,
do that.
About Patrick.
Yeah.
We had this feud, and our listeners, and we had a message board.
All right.
And the internet was very different back then. And our listeners would feud with their listeners, and we would yell back and forth. And,
yeah.
But Patrick wasn't the only one. These were Air Ferg told me that he had like 350,000.
Yes, it was some completely unbelievable amount.
Like I'm like, go get a show on MSNBC.
Yeah, right.
Like
yeah.
in 7 o'clock, you'd probably
well,
pull better.
Some guys do now, but
I'm just saying, like.
Yeah, people none were, of those guys ever
people
did.
Were telling us they had 3 million downloads when they didn't have shit.
No.
And there was a lot of cooking the books and patting the stats. And we accused Patrick.
And there still is. Don't get me wrong. I mean, YouTubers do that. You know, Twitter followers. Everybody does that. It's just very common. And people use that as a way. Anyway, so Patrick Melton, and I'm not going to talk about why he was in this video. Let's not go there. That is not for this show.
Well, he was interviewing
a guy. We saw this on YouTube. And it's a guy, he built a studio, which again, I mean, you know, fake it before you make it. I don't want to drop $2,000-$3,000 to build a studio and have cameras
well, you already
and try
did.
To run
when
on
you
that.
You dropped $10,000 to build the palatial studio.
No,
here.
But I mean, well, I pay for this home, which is a lot of money. But aside from that,
this complex,
you know, I I'm not going to do that. And even if that gave the appearance of professionalism, which therefore brings more people in, I don't feel that it's worth it, and I'm not even going to gamble on myself when it comes to this. I know that sounds stupid or whatever, or may sound defeatist, but I'm not going to go like, oh, okay, well, I'll drop all this money, and then more people will listen to this, because the number of people that listen to that is not the reason I do it. I guess.
I don't know the reason you do it, but anyway.
That is a good question. You know, that's another question, and I don't have an answer for that.
I have zero idea most weeks.
Well, look,
all right.
I'm good at it, as you are, and we both have jobs in mainstream media. We both, you know, come on.
So why are we doing this? Look. All right.
Corey's saying he's glad to sit here as long as you want if you gave him $5 a month.
Abso-goddamn-lutely.
And I disagree with that. I think you're going to be every bit as a dick about
what are you
getting off your ass and doing the show
what do you disagree
for $5
about?
A month. Well, listen, if you're willing to pay us $5 a month just as a tip, or, you know, we just want the tip, Corey.
Look, $5 is nice.
Don't sell my joke either.
$5 is nice.
I wonder why
I'm
no
gonna no. I'm no selling this joke.
But yet. Why are you no selling the joke?
Because you're not selling the product.
It was a penis joke. It was perfectly fine.
Because you're not selling the podcast.
Well, I'm asking people if they'll pay $5 a month as a tip, and then what do we do with that money? I mean, look,
in
the past, we've asked people for money to upgrade our equipment and that, and they've come through. So thanks to anyone who's done that in the past. I mean, it's been years. And we could probably use some new equipment, so I could certainly put money towards that.
Look,
I had to fix your headphones before the show.
I think asking people for $5 a month is good. Asking people for $15 a month is better. And I think I think you can reach down inside yourself. Look, we're giving you content, baby.
We are, and that's fine.
We don't have ads.
Don't have ads.
You're not hearing a Casper mattress ad.
No.
We're not doing a Stamps.com ad.
And the reason I don't do... I don't know. Can we talk about what we talk about and have people give us money?
Yes, have you heard a podcast?
From Stamps.com?
Conan O'Brien needs a friend, which obviously Conan O'Brien's a massive...
Well, it's Conan O'Brien.
Yeah, but I understand. But he's doing live reads, and Andy Richter's on there talking about how in the 90s he would find the biggest, hairiest guys having sex and make them the screensaver for all the executive producers.
Okay.
Computers. I mean, this is the future, baby. We can talk about whatever. Look, Jim Cornette has advertisers.
But I'm saying if you said, I found this guy who wants to advertise on the show, I'm not going to say no.
First of all,
it seems like I have to do the legwork to find these people and then give you the money. And if you want to be the advertising salesman for Joel Radio, if you want to be the rep, if you want a fucking business card,
I've been doing
this. JoelRadio.net sales sales manager Corey Hall. I'll fucking do that.
I've been doing the comedy legwork on this show for years.
Fuck
Look,
you.
I'm keeping this thing funny.
I got a whole agenda of stuff.
All right.
Well, listen, honestly, though, if you do want it, you can leave a comment on JoelRadio.net. You can email me. You can go to the Facebook for JoelRadio.net.
It's going
to
be behind a paywall, but see it
soon. No, but I'm saying if you want to say, hey, I'm willing to give you guys a couple of bucks because we like the show. But the other thing is, since we're not taking money and I want to take 3 weeks off of doing the show or I get busy, or I think we've probably done 3 weeks, if not a month, since the last one of these. You know, we might have to be more regular with the content. We might, you know, all those things. It's not a one-way street where people are just going to give us money.
Yes, it is. All right, look. People give money to worse
who do
programs.
Let me ask you this.
What?
Who do you give money to?
Who do I give money
to? Yeah, do you Patreon for anybody? Any podcasts? Any YouTubers? Are there anybody that you support with your money? I mean, aside from like a streaming service or something like that or...
Well, I don't currently, but I have...
Oh.
I was a Mark Maron patron before he went to Stitcher.
Okay. Now he's doing that instead of Patreon.
Yeah, I had the access to the archives.
Okay.
And I have occasionally donated money. I've given a couple bucks here and there to...
one-time payments.
Yeah, one-time payments. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a recurring subscription rate.
Well, that's how the business works.
By the way, you and I both scold open micers for doing free shows on Friday nights. You're doing a free podcast for 15 years. Pauly Shore is asking people for money.
Well,
what
is he asking people money for?
Some sucking mongoloid idiots are out there doing podcasts and asking people for money. And you're looking at this like it's a... No, you got to look... Joel.
Well, but
look for the whore inside of you.
But I have to do...
Come on out. Let cinnamon out.
But you don't just ask people for money. You have to go... I'm going to set up a Patreon. I'm going to do some amount of work. I'm going to set up whatever it is.
We pioneered.
I can do a PayPal tip jar. It's not that hard, but I don't know that that's what is effective anymore.
We pioneered the concept.
We did.
We had a bonus feed for subscribers.
We did.
And this scandalized the then nascent podcast community.
Yes.
And we started doing bonus
episodes. We had secret episodes.
Yeah, we did secret episodes, which was basically two things. It was drive-in theater, where we would drive through...
That's not the one I thought you were going to talk about.
No,
some of those things we won't mention that we did on that bonus secret feed. Motherfucker.
This is 15 years ago.
It's fine.
What the ghost?
Now
of
it's become a big thing.
The ghost of girlfriend.
It's the final Joel Radio right here.
What?
No, I just. Let's move on.
Anyway.
We could do all of those things again.
We started doing a podcast review feature called Your Podcast Sucks.
Yeah, we did do that.
And
that I'm proud of.
There were so many different podcasts. Now, I know there's 10 million kinds of podcasts now, but at the time, there were the predominant comedy format was not comedians talking about how hard it is to do shows on the road, which is what most comedy shows are now, or what most podcasts are now, or they're whatever.
Yeah, well, the live podcasting thing kills me because, I mean, I think people did record shows at the bar and stuff before we did, but we did it as a show, billed as a show, pay your money to get in. I don't think anyone did that before us, and we did a handful of those.
Yes.
Which were all...
One of which featured Jimmy Pardo.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, I mean, they were all disappointing in one way or another, even though I enjoyed... I think we enjoyed them more than maybe, I don't know.
Are you trying to say Kwanzaa was not enjoyable?
I enjoyed Kwanzaa.
I think sometimes, and this happens with like live radio remotes.
Yeah.
The audience in the room doesn't necessarily think you're doing a show for them.
Yeah, it's a different, it's a weird thing. You but have two now, audiences.
I think people have been educated as to yeah. the podcast live experience.
Yeah. But I've never really, well, I've been to some wrestling things that were like that, but I've never been to like, I mean, do people sit there and go, this guy's a celebrity, we're going to listen for this amount of time?
Yeah.
Or do people go, I'm doing this like it's the Tonight Show? Because that's kind of what we did. We kind of did it as you do stand up and then you panel. And yeah. people, but people weren't there to see that. They were there to see a comedy show, I think. And
well, they do, you know, you have
and
to.
And we
do
did
it.
A roast, which now we know roasts blow, but I mean, ours was.
You have to do it more in a talk show format, and you have to do it a little yes. bit more. Or you have to have clips. Like, you know, How Did This Get Made? It's a real popular live podcast, and obviously...
Yeah, but they'll show a video of a movie.
They'll show clips from a movie and mm-hmm. stuff like that.
Sounds like more work.
I've seen some of these live podcasts, and, they're, you know, yeah, people are into it now. Doug loves
but
movies.
But don't people get bored with those?
I'm bored doing this. What
well, I'm telling from the audience's perspective. Don't people sit there and go, yeah, I wanted to see Doug Loves Movies, and I'm here, and Doug's on stage, and first half hour's fun, and then after that, it kind of becomes a slog.
Well, you can't do a three-hour show. You got to do a tighter one if you're doing live.
Well,
but anyway.
God, well, I'm trying to do a tighter show today, right. And you're preventing me.
Let's
all right, but listen,
agenda.
We'll end it on this. Give us feedback in one form or another if you're willing to support the show, either with a donation, with a Patreon, with a recurring payment. And if enough people say it, I'll do it. But, I mean, I don't know what that number is, but five guys.
Think about it.
Five
this.
Guys. I'm not talking about the burger place.
Send us that, too.
Five guys. I can't eat those fries. I get diarrhea. So, if five guys.
You're blaming the fries for
five
that?
Yeah, because I think the burgers, I think it's the oil in the fries.
Okay.
If five guys.
Right. Send us a smash burger. We'll take a
send us
Shake
some,
Shack.
Send us some Shake Shack. Gift cards, and you will get all we will. We will trash other podcasters for double patties and a shake.
All right.
Actually, I'm dieting. I'm not even eating that shit.
Okay. Speaking of fast food.
What'd you have?
Before we go on to the agenda.
All right.
Last night.
What'd you have?
The wife worked late.
Okay.
And then we had to run a couple errands.
Yeah.
And so she was like, let's go to, we went to Del Taco.
Del Taco.
There are only a handful of Del Tacos in the Detroit metro area.
Yes.
We have one, and it is, of course, literally 250 yards from a Taco Bell.
Yeah, it's the rival for Taco Bell. It's right
you know,
there.
It's a like two football fields from a Taco Bell.
Yeah.
And there's a Del Taco,
mm-hmm.
and she got the Impossible Taco.
Yes.
Which, you know, many would say is impossible to eat, but...
it's a tofu-based... Soybean-based meat substitute.
Some kind of plant product
yes.
that Impossible Burger. This, their big claim to fame is that they include this this chemical compound called heme.
Heme.
Which is an iron base. It's kind of in beets
okay.
and other tube vegetables.
Does that give it like a bloody consistency?
It gives it a bloody consistency.
Oh,
and it gives
goodness.
It a kind of a irony flavor,
okay.
kind of like beef.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, it was not bad.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a review of the Impossible Taco.
The Impossible Taco.
Then I don't even know because the menu, we never go there. So the menu at Del Taco is like a foreign land, much like
yeah.
where tacos come from. And but they, I don't know if authentic Mexican food includes French fries in the burrito.
Which, that's one of their
Del
things?
Del Taco did. But oh. you know what? Overall, Del Taco, not bad.
Okay. I've never
burger,
had it.
The Impossible, we should have done the comparison where we got a regular beef taco and the Impossible Taco.
Okay.
And compared them side by side. But the Impossible Taco was not bad.
Yeah.
It did taste a little bit more like a bean
okay.
flavor to it. But with tacos, it tastes like taco seasoning more than,
well,
you know what I mean? Like sausage is
from
easier.
From what I hear, the Taco Bell beef, now again, I'm talking on my ass a little bit. You can look this up. There is a certain amount of filler in the Taco Bell beef.
Sure.
That is not actually meat. And there's meat in there. It is meat. It's not meat, but, you know.
It's not 100% ground
It's not 100% ground beef, I don't believe,
well, I think
a Taco
that,
Bell beef.
What I'm saying is I think that's probably a good avenue for this kind of product. If people want to not consume meat, then I don't see a reason why. Look, vegans are the most obnoxious people in the world.
As a part-time vegan, yes.
As we know.
I agree.
Vegans like to...
I've annoyed many people.
Well, look, I feel that as a comedian, your role is to never, ever, ever accept any orthodoxy.
Yeah.
No matter whose orthodoxy it is.
Right.
Unless it's comedian orthodoxy about not wearing shorts on stage and shit like that.
But yeah.
But anyway, the Impossible Taco, not bad.
Okay.
I'll give it a mild... It's not like I'm going to run across the street to eat it, but like once in a while, maybe if you mix it up...
White Castle has Impossible Sliders.
I have not had those.
Yeah.
Again, that's a product that is so heavily...
And Impossible is the trademark of the company that supplies that beef, because there's another one. I forget what's the other one called. There's a rival to the Impossible. There's some other miracle meat or something.
Veggie beef.
There's another one that is, you know.
Girlfriend beef?
No, but it's... I forget the rival.
Girlfriend beef.
It's girlfriend
fake
beef.
It's fake beef for your girlfriend that doesn't want to eat meat.
Podcaster beef.
Yeah. We've got plenty of those.
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean. All right, well, there you go. Impossible burgers, maybe. But, I mean, are you losing weight eating that? Probably not, because all that other stuff.
Well, it had the cheese and...
It's got sour cream on it, probably, if you wanted it to. But if you wanted it to, it could.
Sure.
I don't know that that is a healthy thing. And I don't know that those Impossible burgers are healthy for you, either.
No, in terms of just... Well,
but you're not eating meat in a...
There are other reasons to not consume meat.
Political sense. I don't know that health is...
I think for environmental and ethical concerns, if you want to not eat meat, the Impossible Burger.
But, okay, based upon the Penn Jillette Presto diet, which I followed, the Impossible Burger or Impossible Burrito or whatever would not be on that diet anyway because it's full of salt for certain.
Yeah.
It may have sugar in it. It almost certainly has oil. Mm-hmm. And it's not a whole plant. It is a...
Yes.
Plant-based it is literally processed food, though. It is not whole food. So even though you are not eating beef, you are still eating processed food, which is full of additives. So I will be that annoying vegan asshole for the purposes of this show for right now. And go, yeah, it's not meat, but it's everything else that's bad that's in meat is also in there. And the way it's prepared is bad. And the stuff around it is bad.
But I think it is technically vegan in terms of not having animal
products. But being technically vegan is not the Presto diet, though. It is not as...
We're not talking about the Presto diet.
I'm talking about it because that's the diet that I did, motherfucker.
All right.
All right. Let's move on. Glad you enjoyed it. I went to an open mic last night.
Wow.
Yeah, well, it was a Monday open mic, so you should approve of this. It was at the New Way Bar, which is an open mic that's been around,
Please don't describe my position on weekend open mics as being contrary to what any human being should have.
No, it's fine.
I have the correct position on that.
But we had one of those where it was, you know, it's Monday after the 4th of July weekend. And like all comedy, even like the comedy shows this weekend.
We did not go out of town. We had a staycation.
Okay,
yeah. We just went to like some friends' barbecues and stuff.
Okay.
And walked around in downtown.
But
the streets were kind of empty.
Yeah.
Most people in this town bail out for up north.
But I'm saying when people get back from vacation, the last thing they want to do is go out to see a show. So this New Way Bar, which is
the last thing they want to do.
Well, any week it can be death. But usually, you know, because I went because my comedy students, some of them were performing and I like to evaluate them. And all I need, I always say this, I only need a couple audience members that are there to see comedy, there to see the show, that I can at least watch them and get how their opinion is and sort of give feedback to the students. Well, I didn't even have that. I mean, there was fucking nobody. But the reason I bring this up, well, there's two reasons, but the New Way Bar, probably because they do live music on the weekends, and maybe this helps the engineer, or maybe there is, maybe the city has come down on them for this reason, but they have a decibel meter installed.
Oh.
It is a giant digital display, not unlike my clock behind you, a giant digital display that as you talk, or as the audience is talking, or the band is playing, you see how loud it is on stage. Now, for comedy purposes, this could be really funny.
Well, is there an applause meter as well?
Well, no, but that's kind of how you can judge how you're doing, I guess, in one way. So as the show starts and the MC's on, who, you know, shall remain nameless, but we're not going to go there. Guy stumbles in and the MC starts talking to this guy and he starts yelling at the guy, starts yelling back, and everyone's laughing at the guy yelling back. And I look and it's fucking Bill Hildebrand. Not knowing that I'm going to be there. Bill, who was on our last show or the last couple shows, stumbles in. He's out, you know, he's single. He's out to drink and mingle and we do whatever.
Single Bill is out.
Single Bill is out on a Monday night at 11:30. And Bill sits down and we're goofing around and we're watching. You know, the show is just, and again, it's not anybody's fault. And I'm not even blaming the MC and I'm not blaming whoever. But, I mean, this show is worse than ever. And I said to Bill, I go, well, let's watch, because we're bored, I go, you know, let's watch the decibel meter to see who gets the loudest. Now, a guy, I will say this guy, because, I mean, I think he's actually got some talent, but Justin Essenmacher is one of the loudest fucking guys you'll ever hear on stage.
I don't know, really? He moved the needle?
Whenever he does the Comedy Castle, I have to turn the fucking PA down, because I go back there, and I think Justin's funny, and I've told him, I go, Justin, come on, you're going to blow out our PA. It's fine, I can run back here, but sometimes I'm not here, and you could damage something, and then you're fucked. Don't scream into the mic. Pull the mic back.
You know who would have busted the mic? John Pinnett.
Maybe. Well, he played the castle lots of times.
Ow!
He busted the stage.
Yeah.
So he's up there, and he
busted up a Big Boy Breakfast Bar.
Yeah.
The day after the
Where
show.
Were the Impossible Burgers for him?
Oh, God.
So Justin busts out.
Damn, impossible to eat!
Oh, sorry. Justin, 106 on the decibel meter.
Mm.
One, look up decibel meter readings, because one of them is like a jet plane. Like, what is 106 decibels? You can look it up. I'll let you do it as I'm talking.
Well, you know what I mean? Like the Mohs scale? Like,
well, there's a scale for decibels, and like, you know, this is city traffic. This is, you know, a running refrigerator. This is a jet engine.
Large jet airplane on takeoff.
Yeah.
120 decibels.
Okay. So Justin's...
The threshold of pain...
Yeah.
...is 130 decibels.
Oh. What is 106, then? Where does that fall? What is it above?
110 is Rock Band.
Okay, so he was almost as loud as... So then he's up there, and you know, Justin's pretty...
Louder than a jackhammer.
Okay, so Justin... So he's up there doing that, and then some other
heavy
guy goes on.
Heavy truck is 90.
Heavy truck is 90. Well, so then this other kid gets, and I don't know this guy's name, and if you're listening, look, I'm going to bust your chops a little bit, but, you know, look. You had some energy, and that was good. Some kid who's in there, and he goes, I walk in, and he says to his friend, he goes, and I overhear him, he goes, that guy opened for Roseanne Barr. And I sit down, and he goes, hey, how you doing, Joel? You know, how was Roseanne? And I go, listen, man, I forgot his name. He probably told me, and I go, I didn't open for Roseanne. Go listen to Joel Radio. It'll tell you all that happened there. You know, it was the last show we did. Two shows ago, I guess now. So he goes on, and this kid just was like screaming into the mic. And at some point, I think he like threw it down. This kid hit 115 decibels.
Wow.
And the MC's out of the room. The MC's not there to run the board.
Louder.
The MC's not there to do anything.
Well,
and the kid slams the mic down and he leaves. The MC's out smoking a joint or something in the back. So the next act just walks up on stage without the MC. And I was like, give it up for this guy. And they moved. It was so funny.
Well,
it was such an awful show last night.
I wonder what I would have hit in the old days.
Well, look, if you're running the PA, if you're running the pot,
I am
you turn it down and you're okay.
Considerably less screamy than I used to be.
Yeah.
But I was screamy in my early days. Yeah. So I wonder what numbers I would have hit on that thing.
There was a guy doing hip-hop songs. It might have been that same guy doing hip-hop songs as a big band singer.
Well,
so there you go. What's old is new again.
Yeah, it's an old bit.
Yeah. So anyway, I just got to say, I thought that was so fun. And then I was making a joke because I had to go up. And believe me, I bombed as bad as anybody, but I tried to stick to the set.
By the way, hip-hop guys are doing
example.
Country now.
Yeah, well, that, you know.
That's a new bit.
Yeah. By the way, when I was on 9:10 a.m. With Mike Bonner Tuesday nights here in Detroit, 11
open
a.m.
Roads,
p.m. to 1.
Was that the big hit?
Well, him, Little Nas X coming out was a never-ending delight to Mike Bonner. He should fight Jesse Smollett. That was Mike Bonner's take on the, you know, the gay guys. Yeah. No, The acceptance in the black community, not that high still.
So woke over there.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, so I told Hildebrand, I go, look, I got to go up here. Because I try to set a good example for the students and go, look, we're going to just do the script. We're not going to bust chops and work the crowd. I'm just going to do the jokes. We'll see if that gets them. If it doesn't get them, you go down in flames, you say goodnight. I go to Hildebrand, I go, I want that decibel meter to hit like 25. I want just full crickets, meaning the crowd has to actually shut up and listen, but not laugh.
Oh.
Bill said I got about 60, so it wasn't. I didn't quite get there, but anyway, I thought that was
funny.
You had
to engage them and also
make
them.
Sure they don't laugh. Yeah and I failed at that.
Well, I know a lot of performers that could do that.
Oh, yeah. Then you can take a nap during some of these comedy shows.
Oh, my God. Did anybody have a puppet? Because you could measure the volume level between the performer and the puppet.
I'm going to write this guy. There was a guy that said...
What about the guy who does handstands? Did he register?
I didn't see him. There was a guy the other day that you don't like at all who was on Facebook going, posing with the puppet saying, should I add this to my act? I don't know how you missed out on that.
Well, I might not even be friendly.
Yeah, you might not, but I'm going to write it down and you're going to shit your pants.
Okay.
So I tried not to shit talk the guys at New Way because it was just a bad crowd. But when I saw, I should probably find it.
I mean, when you say good crowd at that bar, in my experience, there's never been a, Club Bart.
Oh, that's the guy with the puppet.
Oh, God.
Potential puppet.
Yeah, okay.
No, but my point was, again, I explained what I wanted for out of a good crowd. But you go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, some open mics, have an audience that shows up.
Yeah.
And, I did an open mic outside last week or two weeks ago.
Good luck with that.
But people brought some of their friends.
Yeah.
So we had a small audience.
No one had any friends at New Way Bar.
Do you know what I mean? I specifically said, try and bring your friends. And so, everybody brought a couple people. But, there's times when you go to that open mic and there's no one but the comics there.
Right, yeah.
Actually, most of the times I've been there.
A lot of times,
or if there's an audience, they're...
Well...
They're... By audience, you mean the guys playing pool?
Well, yeah, those guys don't count.
Pop a shot in the back.
Well, Bill mentioned that to me. He goes, there's more people at the bar.
Isn't there a pop a shot machine there?
They constantly, there's now foosball and there's skee ball, I think.
Oh, there's skee ball.
But, Bill's point was
pinball.
The bar side of that bar, meaning not where the stage and the PA are, had more people than where the show was. And I go, people are repulsed by this fucking show.
Well, this
is
what I like to call ambush comedy.
Yeah, a little bit.
Where people come into a bar or a restaurant and don't know that there's a show there.
Yeah.
And you're interrupting their good time.
Exactly.
And they're all like, we want to just drink on a Monday night.
That happens
at the bar
all the time.
So anyway.
But my point for a good crowd for there is I look at it, as a teacher of comedy, I'm going, give me a couple, give me three people, four people who just want to watch comedy. I will watch their reaction and I can gauge how my students are doing. And this is also meaning that my students aren't fucking around and roasting all the other comics and doing crowd work and shit. They're sticking to their act. That's all I'm looking for out of that show. And I didn't even get that last night. But you're not wrong either, so...
I that particular mic I've just never found very useful.
No. Well, I find it useful in that way, and it's 5 minutes from my house, and it's a Monday night when I don't do my other jobs, so I can do that.
What? There's something to be said for just working out the material on stage and with a microphone in your hand. But for me, I need a little feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Or a little rhythm to develop.
Which is why professionals don't go to most open mics, because they don't have an audience. If you had an audience, you'd have guys in there working on shit all the time. I mean, that's why the Castle is consistently got guys dropping in and going, I want some time.
That's why in New York and L.A., the big names drop into all those clubs, like the Cellar and stuff, because they can get an audience and work on material.
Well, that is the challenge for any guy running an open mic. I'm going to give you advice, comedians, if you want to start something. Try to build your audience. I think new comics, guys running open mics are so concerned about the quality of the lineup that they're not putting any of their energy into getting the crowd. The lineup will take care of itself. If you have a good audience consistently, the good comics are going to come. And all you got to do with the bad guys is you go, you're on late. You're on at 1 a.m. You get 3 minutes instead of 5 minutes.
That's
part of the job of running those. And those guys don't do them. You have to curate that fucking show.
That's the paradox of...
It is.
But
people do it wrong.
Because you will not build an audience by having an open stage where everybody can perform.
No.
And I know that to the comedians, they'll say, well, this is a we need to have a place to learn and grow and get better.
Yeah.
Then there's guys who've been doing it for 12 years and have never gotten a fucking laugh, and they still get spots.
Well,
you have to have some curation.
But you can't go, I'm going to only put on guys who I know who are doing four or five open mics a week, because those guys aren't bringing any of their friends, and you're going to be playing to an empty room or just comedians.
Right.
Have the new guys who are excited. They'll bring their friends. The good guys play to them. Then their friends go on, and then everybody goes home.
There is an alchemy to making an open mic.
And people don't get that. It is counterintuitive. I understand that it's counterintuitive, but it's a thing that you learn after doing it. But some people don't listen to me, and they do what they're going to do, and it goes down in flames.
And
so fuck them.
And here's a little secret inside tip.
Yeah.
The guy who brought the most people goes on last.
Yeah, that's usually how it should go.
All right. There you go.
So in a couple weeks, I'm going to be doing the Gathering of the Juggalos for the 17th straight time, Corey Hall.
Okay.
One of our comedy guests on my stage there at the Gathering, late night, the seminar tent. Come on out and see it. Gilbert Gottfried returns, Corey.
Well.
And Gilbert was on our show years and years ago.
I'm returning.
When he was on the pod, he did the podcast.
Yes.
And at the Gathering. And I would like to have him back on. Gilbert sometimes is kind of reluctant to do the show, where he was last time, even though I think he had
Gilbert
a good time.
Gilbert is reluctant to do anything.
Yeah, he's reluctant to do anything.
I mean, honestly, this, you know.
So I thought
and
about...
And we love Gilbert Gottfried.
We do, yeah.
We've both met him.
He's a hero to us. We love him. We've opened for him.
But the man is reluctant to...
Well, okay.
To do
so here's what I'm thinking. I should get Gilbert a gift. Now, what would you buy Gilbert Gottfried as a gift for appearing on your podcast?
Ooh.
Because I looked some things up. I'll show you, but I just want to know if you had ideas. Or...
I would get him Dorothy L'Amour's girdle. Or,
I actually did Google.
You know what I'd actually
glass do? Top coffee table toy.
Oh,
and that one I could not find. That's a reference to his
crate
show.
A crate of clementine.
Yeah, orange wedges.
Yeah, I mean obviously the gummy orange wedges is always popular.
Yeah, I'm sure those would be good.
What about what about a big bag of travel size toiletries?
I think he has enough of those.
No, that'd be funny.
I could buy him a joke book and say, here's more for your
any kind of old. I have a paperback called Zingers from the Hollywood Squares.
Oh, okay. That's pretty good.
Right?
You want to donate that to Gilbert?
I don't know if I want to part with it, but
it's
all the like Paul
I could
Lynn
get it. On, I could get it on Amazon, I'm sure.
But you know what I mean? Like some old obscure album.
Right. Okay, that's good.
What we should do is go over to the record store and look at the comedy section.
And see if he wants
and
an
find,
album.
And like one of these, you know, schmucky.
But Gilbert's got to fly home with a thing. That's the other thing. I don't want to make
okay,
it.
Okay, paperback's
too
probably a better.
Delicate of a thing.
Paperback.
Well, here's what I came up with. Let me see what I still have open here.
How about a great Jewish joke book?
I think I have that.
Or, you know what I mean?
I have a baseball signed by Boris Karloff, Bela Lugosi, and Lon Chaney Jr. Now, the problem is it's a replica.
Oh.
It's $42. But it is their signatures, and it looks real. But I wouldn't want to pass that off as real because Gilbert might think it's worth money. And I don't know that Gilbert cares about baseball, and, you know. I mean,
he would think that, well, okay.
If it was real, it'd be great, but it would probably cost me thousands of dollars to get that. All right, here's what else I came up with, Corey. This is what I'm thinking of going with. Well, now let me show you this. Okay. Look at this. I don't know how good you can see this from over there.
Okay. Oh, I see it, yeah.
So this is a T-shirt made out of Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein's Japanese poster.
Wow.
It's kind of cool.
That is nice.
But I don't know that Gilbert would you see Gilbert? I mean, they have like a millennial. I mean, the way this website works is they're superimposing that over the model. I don't think he posed for it. But I mean, it's a 20-something guy wearing this black ringer T-shirt.
Well, I don't know
Evan
if Gilbert would wear
Frankenstein.
That.
Well, that's the thing. I want to get. And then what size do you buy Gilbert in a T-shirt?
He's a tiny
baby
man.
Size, extra small.
He's a pocket,
I mean, I don't know what to get.
He's a pocket.
I guess
Jew.
I could hit him up on Twitter. They also have that and a bunch of other stuff. Like I could get that. Okay, here's what I could get him
a bag for Dara.
Well, that's what I saw. Now, this is what I decided on, ultimately, Corey, was this that Abbott and Costello meets Frankenstein Japanese movie poster made into a tote bag. 18 by 18. But, you know, Gilbert walks around New York City and he flies on planes and he takes the megabus. We all saw that in his Gilbert documentary. Maybe that would be something he'd like. I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you think? It's 25 big ones.
Well, you know, it's how much do you want to invest in this?
Well, I mean, I want him to at least accept the gift. I mean, if he has a bag.
Like, I feel like we could go to the Salvation Army.
Well, we could.
And probably pull a couple Alan Sherman albums out of there.
But I don't see Gilbert listening to an album.
Oh, he would. Depends on what you get to find, you know?
I don't know.
I found an album that was Jeff Altman doing Jimmy Carter in the style. It was like the peanut farmers go to the White House.
So it was like a Vaughn, our first family of Vaughn Meter.
Yeah, it was like
thing,
a Vaughn Meter style thing, okay. But with Jeff Altman doing
now
the
that's,
Carter.
That's interesting.
He really obscure pop culture trivia stuff.
And I'll see what else. This guy makes T-shirts.
Or I think just the biggest, blackest dildo you can find.
All right. This guy makes T-shirts.
Oh,
they're completely tacky.
Oh, that's a Lon Chaney Jr.?
It's a Lon Chaney Jr. tribute shirt, but it's like a... Oh. It looks like something you get at the mall.
Oh, it's horrible.
It's all like
you
tie-dyed.
You could get that as a poster, though.
Yeah, but it's not. It's like his original artwork, but it's completely tacky. But it's all pictures of Lon Chaney Jr. from various movie roles. Like, you know, as the Wolfman, as Frankenstein, like old Lon Chaney Jr. and Indian Lon Chaney Jr. What else did I see on here? I mean, there's a lot of Abbott and Costello stuff, which some of that I'd like, probably. And then, you know, a lot of, like, getting the miniature Wolfmans and stuff. Those are real expensive. Like, die-cast Wolfmans and shit like that.
Yeah, the monster
that,
stuff,
you know,
is
that
expensive.
Stuff is expensive. Are you Googling something for the show, or
I'm,
you...
I'm looking at, well, you know...
Well, yeah,
it's
let me
cheap.
Know. I don't
it's
know.
Not cheap.
Yeah, so I'm trying to do this, but if anyone, again, if you have any suggestions on what we should get Gilbert, I mean, we're fans of the Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast. I mean, I could give him some tchotchke that says, you know, jewelradio.net, but I don't think he's going to care about that.
He won't.
So I want to give him something. I mean, believe me, does anybody care about that? And well, are you willing to pay $5 a month for that?
What? Yes, we'll make merch if you buy it.
Right. Well, how about if you give us $25 a month, I'll send you an Abbott and Costello tote bag. All right. How much do they donate to get your Hollywood Squares joke book? Why don't we just combine shit we don't need anymore with...
Well, I mean...
I'll tell you, honestly, here's what we could do. This has nothing to do with Gilbert. I got it.
Joel Radio Garage Sale.
Well, sort of. I told you I cleaned out the studio of DVDs recently.
Mm-hmm.
What if I said, if you donate, you pick the DVD you want, I'll put up photographs of all the stuff I want, and if you donate, I'll send it to you.
How about better yet, mystery bag?
Oh,
the Joel Radio mystery bag.
Ooh.
We'll just get random crap out of our houses.
Just clean out our attics and our basements.
Joel Radio Garage Sale for the dedicated
super
fans. That's
not bad.
We will.
Okay, but what would be in there? Would it be a...
five mystery items.
I have Joel Radio. I have the Corey and Joel Radio posters.
We'll have to give a list of what could potentially be.
Do
in
Do you
there.
Have like PlayStation games you can throw
I got
in?
All kinds
Do you have
of
any of that
stuff? I got junk.
So you would get random stuff from us.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. The garage sale.
You know what I've got? I've got a bunch of wrestling swag from those crates and stuff
sure.
that I could get rid of.
Yeah.
That's interesting. A mystery bag.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, you never know
so,
what you're
going to get. So instead of getting the crate of stuff you like, you would get the chunk to the crate full of junk?
Well, you don't know what the hell, but you're going to get something fun.
It's not bad.
Yeah,
I kind of like that.
You know what I think Gilbert would want? A pair of used panties. If you could just shop worn panties.
Whose panties can I get?
We'll find someone.
Adrian Barbeau to donate her panties?
Oh, now you're talking.
Heather Thomas's thong.
I don't know who that was.
It was Gilbert.
Oh, was it? Oh.
Heather Thomas. Yes.
Oh, Heather Thomas's thong. Wow.
I don't know.
That's a good one.
Well, he talked a lot about Zapped.
Yvette Mimieux.
On one of the bonus episodes.
Zapped.
Yeah, he's a big fan. He can sing the music. He can sing the songs from Zapped.
Morgan Fairchild's butt plug.
Well, if we could get that.
That would be a real shop worn, game used. Morgan Fairchild.
Now you've
butt
gone
plug.
Too far. But yeah, I mean, I want to give Gilbert a gift, but I don't know what. I have no idea.
A Blumpkin would be nice. How about a nice Blumpkin?
Or do I just go? Here's what we could. Here's a funny gift. You and I both sign a $20 bill. And go, Gilbert, you can hold on to this for sentimental reasons, or you can just take this and spend this. It'll be gone. He'll buy a pretzel with it on the way out of the gathering.
Oh, jeez.
What do you got over there?
I accidentally clicked on this was a cat-shaped gravy boat.
Well, yeah, that's what we should get, Gilbert. Okay. All right, well, let's move on. Now, boy, I'll tell you, you know, summer, and I don't know, you said you're not. Do you have any vacation plans? I mean, are you going anywhere big? Do you got any summertime stuff, or
no.
Is it no? No, nothing at all?
It's all drudgery and misery from here on out.
I'm going to Chicago Labor Day weekend.
Well, Godspeed.
We're going to the All Out Show by All Elite Wrestling, Corey.
Hmm.
The fastest selling professional wrestling show in history and ticket sales. Chicago, Sears Center Arena. I was there last year for All In. Now I'm going to All Out.
Yes.
My girlfriend's coming. Last year she was All Out. Now she's in.
I don't know how much longer she's going
to
be All In.
She goes to
these wrestling events.
She likes All Elite because she likes the Young Bucks YouTube show, Being the Elite, with Kenny Omega and Cody Rhodes.
Okay.
She watches that every week with me. And she likes those guys.
I think she just likes being with you. I don't know.
She falls asleep sometimes during the matches when we try to watch matches together.
No girls like wrestling.
She went to the New Japan Ring of Honor show at Madison Square Garden.
This is just a girl that likes you. She does not like the wrestling.
Well, whatever. She goes to Evolve in Livonia, the Knights of Columbus, with me. She sits in the... I get front row seats for that, so that's pretty fun.
This is a good woman.
We're going. And then we're going to a magic show as well.
Yeah.
The Chicago Magic Lounge. They have a bar that's just magic. It's like a comedy club, but it's just for magic.
Holy shit.
Yeah, imagine those fucking losers working there.
Imagine a place I don't want to go. You know, it'd be a magic trick? Getting my ass in there.
You know, it's going to be fun.
Fucking Magic Castle.
It's not the magic. Magic Castle I've never been to, but I want to go.
Well, have you been to
the Chicago Magic?
Have you been to the Comedy and Magic Club?
I have not. I don't know how much magic. I need more magic.
I don't know how much magic is in there, too, because I've only seen comedy there. So it's not a...
Well, I'm going to see all magic at the Chicago Magic Lounge, and we're going to have a nice little trip to Chicago. So there you go.
Wow.
It's very romantic.
You know, if there's two
I'm driving out 2 days early, and she's going to fly in and meet me and ride home with me.
You know, if there's two guaranteed panty-dropping activities... It's wrestling and magic.
There's
two things that
the magic trick is getting your girl to watch wrestling.
You
want to
get a broad hot? Send it to a magic and wrestling. Whoa! What if there was both?
Well, look, I went to Broadway twice with
her.
Okay,
that's fair enough.
In New York,
fair enough.
And then we went to wrestling and magic the other night.
There was a guy that has a famously failed wrestling gimmick.
Yeah,
that was a magician wrestler.
Who was
named
that?
Phantasmo.
Really?
And he only had like a white makeup, like a mime.
Oh, was it like the WCW?
No, it was WWF in the height of 90s dumb gimmickry.
I don't remember him at all.
And he was Phantasmo, and he would pull magic tricks.
I think there's a luchador, El Phantasmo, now.
Look up Phantasmo.
I'm good.
All right.
People can do that.
He would do the thing where he threw confetti at a guy to distract him, and like streams came out and like.
Interesting.
And I think the gimmick only went over one time, and they were like, "This is terrible."
Yeah. If you'd like a set of Detroit Lions fuzzy dice that Corey bought me 20 years ago.
Oh, there you go.
Donate. You may win. You may be the lucky winner. Those are like the dustiest dice.
I think it's the old logo.
It probably is, but all right.
There is some random junk here.
I also, maybe here, how about this for a bonus episode?
Yeah.
It's on video. We go back to the...
I recently unearthed a stack of posters from Bastard Sons of Comedy 1. Which featured myself.
Yeah.
Executive producer, and frequent audio guest or audio voice actor and writer of Rick and Morty, Ryan Ridley.
Rick and Morty showrunner.
Yeah.
Community writer and producer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ryan Ridley.
And then Derek Stefiriak. But, you know, the point is.
Wasn't Todd Starks
Todd,
on
Todd Starks was on
I was going to say, you could sell those to Todd. I'm sure
so there's.
That's what? Who your market is. Hey, what? Todd, do you want these? What? Well, you know.
One success.
I got to give $1,000 to Jimmy Walker to come to O'Mara's. And then we got Mark Price coming in.
Ally Sheedy's going to do her recipes from her cookbook for $1,500.
He'll spend money on anything.
He's really like, he's been
to recapture his youth.
It's, man.
Poor guy.
I don't want to.
All right.
I love Todd.
Well, I was going with something.
But Todd was an actual comedian at one point, and you can see the poster for the, I think we did Son of Bastard Sons. We did a couple.
I was going to tell you something. I can't remember.
Well, what else?
Oh, I said for the video feature. I'm bouncing this off you. This is the first time you're hearing this, as is the audience. Mm. We go back to the scene of the crime because it will be 5 years this December of the legendary butthole eaten at Detroit Lions tailgate. I want to find the spot like the fucking Kennedy assassination. I want to go there.
Now who's,
and with the help of forensic science,
whose butthole will?
Well, we'll have to find a volunteer
to
have somebody recreate the butthole eaten shot, and maybe we can get the guy who took the picture.
Tell you what,
I was showing that to my girlfriend the other day because it just out of the blue it came up and it.
We're
going to
set that as a Patreon goal.
What's the thing? We could do long form documentary content. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just. Butthole eaten at Lions tailgate. I think that was the headline on Deadspin.
Why don't we set this as a Patreon goal?
Yeah.
And the winner gets their butthole eaten. If we clear.
What if the winner gets to eat, like, your butthole?
Oh, that no one would donate.
What about, would you and your wife recreate the butthole being eaten?
No. That's a solid no. Let me go take that pitch home.
Look, here's what we're going to do.
Hey, honey, look, I got a concept.
What if you got your butthole eaten, you could pick a grab bag DVD from my collection? Would anyone want that?
Yeah, I don't know about that either.
All right. All right, you're not doing anything for the summer, but well, I'm segueing because a lot of TVs and movies, Corey, that's what we're doing. That's how we're filling our time. We're sitting there in front of a screen watching other people do dumb stuff.
Woo!
So let's get into that.
Yes, sir.
What TV you watching? You know, they're bringing back all the game shows. And not only are they bringing back game shows, they're making up new game shows.
Well, yeah.
And the only one that I've seen, we've covered Match Game and Pyramid and stuff in the past, and some of those hosts are, you know, Strahan's not good, and even Alec Baldwin's not
good. What do you mean? Strahan, what are you trying to say? Strahan's not good.
The $25,000 Pyramid.
That's a good clue. The 25... I hate him so much. I can't. Oh, my God.
And I noticed the last time I watched Match Game, the quality of the panel has gone way down. I thought they did a good job of a modern version of a 70s panel.
Well, the panel...
And the panel really fell off. I did not know who some of the panelists were.
The panel of Match Game, here's the thing.
Because, you know, I'll tell you what, before you go in, what they're doing is they're now stocking it with, like, third and fourth leads from ABC sitcoms. I don't know.
Yes.
And it used to be guys you knew. But anyway.
If it's a comic, you know, if like Caroline Ray is on there, so, you know what I mean? Like, that's fine. But you're right. They're like Constance Zimmer. Like, who?
Yeah,
and
they're...
Well, I'll tell you, there was a comic on there, though, that was terrible. It's a lot of SNL guys. It's like Horatio Sands and, you know, mm-hmm. Keenan. But they had a guy who was exposed. Was not funny. Without a team of writers.
Yeah.
Gabriel Fluffy Iglesias.
Yeah, I could see that.
Not that he's funny.
I'm not
that he's funny on stage and his best, but he on Match Game, he had no improv skills, nothing funny.
Yeah,
was
I'm sure he's
out.
Not.
No, you know.
He's a funny-looking fat guy. Good for you.
I mean, Jesus
he's Latin.
Christ.
He's got a lot going for him.
No, you need a Joel McHale or a...
Yeah.
You need a Corolla.
But, I mean, they used who's the gay guy from 30 Rock. I mean, they seem to do that.
Jack McBrayer.
Yeah, they seem to kind of get their,
well, and
here's the modern day,
they
you
have
know,
not locked
Charles
in,
Nelson Reilly.
First of all, the original Match Game had dedicated stations.
Yes.
Each seat represented, you had your top left corner was the himbo wild card.
Well, that was the kind of respected character actor.
Yeah, or Bowser.
Gary Berghoff or somebody.
Yeah, but then you had your Charles Nelson, you had your
Brett Summers. So you need Charles the old, Nelson. You need the old.
They have not assigned a bimbo chair.
No, they need a, well, you know wasn't I mean? Ellie Kemper doing that or something?
Kind of the, they've had all of the,
yeah,
all of the 30 Rock people and a lot of the SNL and that whole universe of people. Well, I think Tina Fey is probably the executive producer on that because it's Alec Baldwin.
Might be.
Jane Krakowski, Ellie Kemper, all the people from from her shows are on there, but whatever. Gabriel Puffy Iglesias couldn't even figure out King Kong.
Yeah.
Well, got so drunk, he put his banana in a what?
Well,
and then people, you know, they can't even figure out these dumb, which all that is basically like fundamental punchline writing.
Yeah.
Is what Match Game tests you, and the contestants are completely stupid.
No, absolutely.
They can't figure that out. They're just like, you know.
Well, do you know who wrote those? And actually, I added this later. You know who wrote a lot of those was Dick DiBartolo from Mad Magazine, which we found out this week. Mad Magazine is going to cease publication.
Yeah,
very sad. Not that I've bought a Mad in a really long time, but I know I bought us the Star Wars commemorative thing where they reissued that stuff.
Ooh. What about Shecky Green's autobiography? Would Gilbert like that?
Do you have one of those?
No. But
Mad, very sad. Mad is going out of, I subscribed to Mad for probably about 10 years of my life.
Well, yeah.
And I used to have a basement full of Mad magazines, and I think they got ruined in a flood or something.
They have only 67 years of back catalog.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's the thing. They'll reissue Mad, and they'll put it in books, and it'll be around.
Obviously, I don't think the way newsstands work and magazines work that they can sustain, but I feel like if they did a couple a year.
The thing is, you got to keep that staff employed all year,
quarterly.
But that's the problem, I think, is you need all these people to do that even, you know, three times a year, four times a year. Yeah. And how do you do that? Now you've got contract workers and you got, you know, how do you maintain some editorial quality? And, you know, one of the other magazines, and I still get it, Entertainment Weekly is done.
It's Entertainment bi-monthly.
It's going to be bi-monthly. I'm sure it'll still be on the web.
Or Entertainment Monthly. Or
I don't know what it's going to be, but it's not going to be weekly anymore. So that's another thing that I... Now, I get Entertainment Weekly, and it's pretty affordable. It's, you know, $30 a year or something like that. So it's kind of like it's less than $1 a week. And I go, look, if I get a good show to watch out of having that, and, you know, it shows up, and I flip through it at dinner probably once or twice, and, you know, recycle it.
I feel like...
Or find a good movie suggestion. I go, you know, do I need that? Not really. I can read Metacritic it's fine.
Last year, I got New York Magazine.
Yeah.
Which is a great magazine.
Sure.
Although it did make you go, ah, shit. There's just all restaurant reviews of stuff you're not going
you're
to.
You're never
going
to go to the New York stuff, yeah.
You know, you're like, oh, Dad, I want to go to this Indonesian pop-up that... Or whatever, you know, or whatever crazy stuff. But I don't know, magazines. I think babies born today are not going to know what a magazine
probably
is.
Not. I mean, they're cool to have later because it's such a snapshot of the moment to have a magazine.
I thought that women had staples until I was. Well,
yeah. Okay. Okay. So Pressure Luck.
Yeah.
They returned with Star of Charlie's Angels, which no one asked for, the new one.
There's a new Charlie's Angels.
Elizabeth Banks directed and stars. God. She is the leader of the angels. You know, she's not one of the angels, but she's the boss.
She's the Bosley?
Who's the voice in the speaker?
Well, she's Charlie.
She's Charlie, yes.
Okay.
But Elizabeth Banks hosts
who's
Pressure
Luck. Who's the Bosley?
I forget.
Because it was...
It was Bill Murray, right?
And then he hated Lucy Liu.
Yeah.
And then it was, what was it? Bernie Mac did it? Cedric or somebody?
One of those guys. But anyway, Pressure Luck came back. Now, Pressure Luck was the infamous guy, figured out the pattern, and he won, you know, $200,000 on it. You know, they've changed all that, but otherwise it's kind of the same dumb show.
The late, great Peter Tamarkin.
Is Peter Tamarkin dead?
Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad. And again, you get Elizabeth Banks, who I believe has an Oscar nomination to do. I believe she does. I don't know that. You know, and it's kind of like,
what's the deal
it seems like a waste.
Elizabeth Banks is this hot, funny woman who,
yeah.
like, showbiz is kind of like, man, we're good.
Well, I feel like
she's just too old.
She's aging out of being the ingenue or the, you know, the romantic comedy lead. She and she's going to have to play mom.
She played the mom in Brightburn, which is this
okay
evil Superman movie where what if Superman turned evil as a kid? Yeah. And she played the mom in that.
I don't know that movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Came out. It was not James Gunn, but it was his brother.
Oh. But anyway, yeah, so she's hosting it, and boy, it's the same dumb shit. One thing I think is a mistake, and I guess it's the way the networks are programmed, fucking hour of Pressure Luck? Really, ABC? You fucking want me to sit there for a fucking hour and watch these people avoid whammies? By the way, the whammies, designed by Sergio Aragonés, also of Mad Magazine.
Oh, there you go.
But yeah, I mean, I'm like, who asked for this?
No one.
I mean, I know you can watch the Buzzer Channel or Game Show Network and get old Pressure Luck, but I mean, come on.
No one asked for it. I saw the other day they're now casting a female lead in a reboot of The Mask.
Oh, God.
Because
it's so depressing.
Who in your life has ever gone, God damn, I need another Mask movie?
So Jamie Kennedy's not available.
Yeah, oh, God.
He'll be at the Comedy Castle in a couple weeks.
Legit, one of the five worst films I have ever seen.
Is it The Mask T-O-O?
Son of the Mask.
Oh, Son of the Mask. I thought it was The Mask 2, like
T-O-O. There might have been another Mask movie. But it was like, yeah, there was Son of the Mask where the baby got the mask
God.
And the dog. And legit one of the, and like, and Jamie Kennedy was, I had to interview him and at the junket, and he's sitting there like, you could just see the shame on his face. Like, he knew what a turd burger he was serving to the American people. That was legit one of the worst movies of all time.
All right, so.
So unfunny, a lot.
Yeah.
That blew the dust on being around.
Let's see what else is on TV, Corey. You watched Stranger Things on Netflix.
Sure did.
Now, I bailed after season one. I'll be honest with you. I thought the whole reveal of the aliens and the upside down or the monsters or whatever was kind of lame. And while I thought those kids were, they did a good, you know, the 80s nostalgia was real. I thought those kids were good actors. But ultimately, it kind of wore out its welcome for me, and I never went back. But you've stuck with it.
Yeah.
And how is it?
Well, they're going to squeeze every last nickel they can out of this because the kids are growing up. And they're almost too old now.
They're almost dead. They're going to get married.
Because the kids are going to be like 16.
Yeah.
It's like, the older ones are already like,
yeah.
Like Nancy's working at the newspaper. Like, you know what I mean? They're already like,
yeah.
They're already like grown up.
Sure.
And there's a lot of action at the mall.
Okay.
And this mall is the most packed mall. There's, you know, there's, it's like
the budget for extras was not encumbering the production.
It is like Black
Things.
Friday in there every day.
Well, in 1985, maybe.
I mean, I guess the mall was pretty
that
busy.
That might have been. I don't know.
Lakeside Mall, circa 1985, was
Believe
just.
Me, I grew up right outside Lakeside.
I'm just the mall is just overloaded with, you know, the escalator is teeming with extras.
Yeah.
And one of the guys works at Scoops Ahoy.
Oh.
And they're wearing dumb pirate outfits to serve ice cream, so there you go.
Okay.
But, and they've added a new character.
Oh.
The moody goth girl.
Oh.
Which really, there wasn't really quite goth yet.
Did they ever find like, Barb?
Barb's
gone.
They found Barb in the cemetery.
Barb's on some other Netflix thing.
You didn't watch...
The actress.
No, Barb's gone. They found
Barb.
They found Barb in a hole in the cemetery. Even though she's a cult icon to fat girls,
Barbie,
she remains.
Meanwhile, we've done this on the show before. But
when
you see the girl who played Barb, you're like, "Well, that'd be the prettiest girl in probably any high school in the country."
Oh,
and yet she's the fat chick on Stranger Things.
I'd knock the bottom out of Barb.
We should probably find out how old the actress is.
Without the makeover,
before you start knocking the bottom out of her,
she's over 21. What was her name?
Just type in Corey Hall's Dream Girl. I'm sure it'll pop right
Come
up.
On.
They know a lot about
Come
us.
On.
This Google
redhead, redhead with a big ass and glasses. Sweet.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
Come on, Corey.
What do you think I'm going to do?
So do you like season three? I mean, is that just the point?
I would say anyway. They added the new moody goth girl.
Yeah,
who was played by Maya Hawke.
Oh, okay.
who is the daughter of.
Oh.
Who is she the daughter of?
She's the daughter of, I don't know, T-Hawk from Street Fighter. I don't fucking
know. Whoa, T-Hawk. No. Two famous people in show.
Yes, Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman.
That's correct.
I knew that. I was playing along for the sake of the audience.
T-Hawk. You named probably the...
Well, I almost said John Hawks, but that's not the... That wouldn't be...
That's one of the... That might be one of the most obscure Street Fighter characters.
Well, oh, I should have said Hawk from the Road from the Legion of Doom, the Road Warriors.
Yes.
The now dead.
I believe it was the character, the Hawk from Lady Hawk.
Okay.
And
wouldn't that be anyway?
It's Michelle Pfeiffer.
Okay.
That's a fine. By the way, fine film.
Okay, Lady Hawk.
See, it's Rutger Hauer and Michelle.
Don't know.
Pfeiffer.
Don't know it.
Never seen this.
I probably should have, but it was not
Rutger
in my
Hauer,
wheelhouse.
Michelle Pfeiffer and Matthew Broderick as the comedy relief.
Yeah, when you say Rutger Hauer, I'm out of there. Well, that's usually my life, you know.
Rutger Hauer, she's a lady. She's a damsel, a lady, and he's a knight, and they're cursed. So that...
Well, I think he was big in Europe. Is that why Rutger Hauer was
by
in
by night, he's
movies?
A wolf, and by day, she's a bird, and they can never be together.
But is it any good, Corey?
It's a fine film.
No, Stranger Things.
Oh, Stranger Things?
It's the longest review of anything
Stranger
ever.
Stranger Things is... they threw in Cary Elwes, too, in case you were like...
Oh, yeah, you didn't get enough 80s
nostalgia.
Do we have any
more, '80s actors we need?
Winona.
Yeah.
Any other washed-up actors hanging around that you can find? Any numbers?
I don't know why they did not... I mean, I guess he's busy with his own...
Who did you not make out with in 1993 that we could have on the cast here?
That's a short list.
That's what I mean. It's a short list. That's why you got to go... I mean, shit, I think I'm about to get a call,
And Stephen Baldwin shows up.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's really, Judge, where is Judge Reinhold?
Yeah, I don't know.
They got Cary Elwes. Where's Judd Nelson sitting?
Yeah, I was going to say, Judd Nelson is sitting at home going, can these fucking Stranger Things call for motherfucking?
Just staring at his phone.
Judd Nelson's agent is sitting in the dark with all the lights out and his phone on silent.
Mino Palouse waiting for a call up somewhere. Soleil Moon Frye says I could play somebody's mom. I was Punky fucking Brewster.
You say Billy Zabka, but he's got a show. He's gone. Cobra Kai.
Billy Zabka's on this show.
Billy Zabka. Yeah. People say that's the best show.
Cobra Kai.
People say Cobra Kai is the best show.
Although they're gonna YouTube's going to take that off the paywall.
No, they already did. It's free now.
Oh, okay.
It might have commercials, but it is free. You don't have to be YouTube red.
Which one of the Goonies?
I'm YouTube red.
Which one of the Goonies did they not bring in?
Well, Corey Feldman is not available.
Oh, apparently. He's available. He's very available.
Well, I mean, I think there's reasons they don't want Corey Feldman.
I mean, Corey Haim's dead, and River Phoenix is gone. But, there's plenty... Judd Nelson is available.
Judd Nelson is available.
Taking your
here.
Calls.
Wouldn't you make him the principal in some show?
God.
If you were going to, I mean, wouldn't that be
I
the
would.
Thing,
of
Corey?
Of course I would.
But he must just be a real asshole. I mean, that's got to be why Judd Nelson's not working.
Yeah, Crispin Glover's not working for a good reason.
Yeah.
Because he's a fucking lunatic.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
There is such a thing as, you don't get calls.
Well, some people wonder why guys constantly work when they have no talent, and it's that, they're easy to work with. And why talented people don't get called back. Why did Monique not get a job after winning an Oscar?
Why is Monique not first in line to play Ursula in the Little Mermaid movie?
Do you want to do your Little Mermaid jokes now?
No, I don't. I don't.
Corey had some great... I really Little Mermaid's going to be black jokes, but he's going to clam up now on the podcast.
You can write, by the way. You can write.
Yeah, anyone can write those.
You
yes.
can write them yourself.
I know.
It's
yes,
not.
Yes,
these are not. Yes. It's not the best work I ever did.
Because all the fish would be deep fried. Is that why? Is that the joke you're about to make, Corey Hall? Remember, you are under oath, Mr. Hall. Was that the joke you were going to make about the Little Mermaid?
I hadn't thought of that one. Racist.
You could have a Little Mermaid as black hunk right now on stage.
Yes.
Anywhere in the country. A hunk.
Oh. Terry Crews as her dad, though, makes sense, right? Big muscle dude under the sea.
I guess.
Like Poseidon.
guess. What about this Euphoria on HBO? Have you seen that? Everyone's talking about Euphoria.
Yeah, what did you think about it?
I think it's very good, and I'm you know, granted, a show about high school kids should not be something that is you know, on my list of stuff to watch, but it really is a very buzzy show. I think that some of these cast members are going to be real big breakout stars. I feel like maybe not since Girls season one has there been a buzzy show like this, Corey.
And
I'm not saying in the way that, you know, Glow got buzz or, you know, Stranger Things or some of these other streaming things that everyone went crazy for, Breaking Bad. But I feel like with young people and with maybe people I hadn't seen before or were only in bit parts earlier. I mean, there's a trans actress in this.
Okay.
One of the leads. I mean, what's the word? It's a
Barb from Stranger
it's
Things.
It took
me a while. Barb from Stranger Things is 22.
Oh, okay. Good for you.
Which
good for you.
She could be my daughter.
Could be.
I mean, that's really.
But in Euphoria, it's an ensemble cast. That's the word I was looking for. Ensemble. Mm-hmm. It's not. Now Zendaya is the name above the title star.
Good.
I guess was on Disney. I never watched that shit. But, you know, she's also in the new Spider-Man movies, and I don't know. Zendaya in the Spider-Man movies, which we'll talk about Far From Home, although, God, this show seems like it's going long. She, to me, is not your typical leading lady.
She's horrible. I hate her guts.
I agree with you in that sense as the love interest in a teenage
I hate her comedy action superhero movie. Her dumb little trout face. I hate her guts. She's a Disney actress. She sucks on ice.
Yeah.
I can't stand her.
She's pretty good in Euphoria, I will say.
Oh,
though.
I hate that show.
No, she's good in Euphoria. Oh. And I'll tell you, and I think all of these actors are good in this. And I like the show. And certainly they're doing stuff that, you know, my girlfriend's watching and she goes, oh, I like that guy. And it's like Eric Dane, who was McSteamy on Grey's Anatomy. I don't even want to get into the plot line of this fucking thing because it's unbelievable, some of this stuff. Now, granted, you could watch this show and go, it's a bunch of high school kids doing drugs, having sex, beating the shit out of each other.
Yeah.
And I have one question, Corey. Can I go back to high school? Because this seems like a good time. My high school was not like this exactly. But I think the point here is, though, is this just a show that people are going, this is what your kids are up to and we're trying to frighten them and shock them? And
yes.
Is that why people are interested in this? Or is this a legitimately good show?
Everything in my body rejected this show. This was like if I had swallowed paint.
Oh.
I hated this show.
Well, they've had four episodes. How many have you watched?
Two.
Because episode four, and I'm reading a review right now on Complex.com, and they're talking about how episode four, which all took place at a carnival.
The swerve comes in episode four. Please.
No, episode four was great. It was really great. It was the show was shot very cinematically and very stylistically.
I loathe the tone of it.
There's lots of tits.
That's fine. I mean, good for that. I'm not gonna, you know.
There was apparently a scene in the boys' locker room scene in high school, featured, according to an article I read, over 30 penises.
Well, more reason to watch. Hold on, boy penises?
Yeah, there were
penises.
Sign
me up. Let me get on.
I'm assuming those actors were all over 18, but they put a lot of penises in.
I know a couple former comedians that might want to be watching this show.
I like Euphoria. I can't lie. It's got me. I'm interested in it. I think
Why?
It's well done.
What are you interested in?
It's well done. It's the storytelling is good. The characters are interesting. It's shot beautifully.
Is this supposed to be in the real world? Why are they all missing? They're all fucking.
They're all
going
yeah,
to parties
yeah.
and getting high and fucking.
Well, some of them are. Some of them are. I mean,
okay. This is why
Zendaya's character is struggling with addiction.
Has anyone told a joke in this show?
It's not a comedy.
It's not real. It's like,
well, nothing's real.
No,
I mean, you know,
we're
I mean, Caddyshack's not real. We don't dump on it for that.
I gotta say, I've rarely hated a thing more.
okay.
Than
well,
this show.
It's but awful. I look at you and you go, you're profiling this versus reviewing the content of
it. I have watched it.
If you're going, this isn't for me, this isn't my demo, and I'm not going to watch this.
I don't know what the... Okay, but that
I think it's objectively good. And I think it could be objectively bad, but this happens to be
objectively,
good
about it.
It's made by a guy named Sam Levinson, who's Barry Levinson's son.
This reminds me of American Beauty, the movie, the show.
Okay, a little bit.
And American Beauty sucks. Let's get that's the movie that okay. I guess the good parts of that are Annette Bening and the disgraced Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
Praise be his name.
No, it, you're right. It does have an American Beauty vibe. It is.
I hate
the parents are dysfunctional as well as the kids. And
I'll tell you what. Maybe it's about me and my psychology.
Yeah,
does not appeal to me in any way.
It is woke.
There are nubile young titties.
The one girl's unbelievably good looking. Oh my god,
good for them. But
I forget her name. But
these
geez,
are
oh,
again. Okay, Rocket.
You'll know the one I'm talking about if you watch the show.
The number one complaint I had about Rocket Man.
Yeah.
Which, did we talk about Rocket Man?
We did because Hildebrand had seen it, I think you and I hadn't.
The biggest complaint I had about Rocket Man, which maybe Hildebrand saw it and I hadn't at the point. But
yeah, I think that was the case.
Is that Rocket Man proposes that Elton John spent 20 years as an elite rock and roll singer, one of the biggest music stars in the world.
Yeah.
At one point, comprised 4% of all album sales in the world were Elton John records.
Sure.
Sucked and fucked his way around the globe through every, party he could go to, right? Sucking giant amounts of drugs up his nose, and he wasn't happy.
Yeah.
I'd be happy as a goddamn clam.
You say that
I'm
now, but
fucking,
you're not.
I'm tired of these. No, I hate this show because it makes sex scary. It makes sex not fun.
Well, they're having lots of sex. They're not enjoying it. They want to have sex.
But they're not enjoying
it.
Sex. They're all mad about it. This is like a Taliban vision of America. This is
politically, you could look at the show and be against it, but I think qualitatively,
I grew up in a time where
the filmmaking is good, Corey.
I grew up in a time when teen movies were about having fun.
Yeah.
Screwballs.
Screwballs?
Screwballs.
That was a movie?
You never saw Screwballs?
I don't think I did.
Oh, man. Guy gets a bowling ball stuck in his wiener. Look.
I don't know that that's real.
The only way they can get it off is to arouse him. Look. it's a classic. Well, you've never seen Screwballs? Losing It?
I've seen Losing It.
The Last American Virgin?
I've seen Last American Virgin. I've seen Elijah Screwballs. I don't think I've seen.
Porky's.
Oh, Gilbert did a great show.
Porky's Revenge.
One of whoever the guy is that runs the Gilbert Facebook.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it Mike McPatton? Is that his name? He wrote a book about
teen sex comedies.
And he was a great...
Right.
If you get the bonus episode of Gilbert.
I think there's one called High Spirits where a guy dies in college and goes back to like sneak in as a ghost and girl shower and stuff. All where I want fun loving date rape.
Well, Revenge of the Nerds, Robert Carradine wears a mask,
straight up bones a chair,
has sex with a girl, and she assumes it was her boyfriend. He rapes a woman,
essentially. Yeah, whatever.
But she loved it because he was a nerd and he could give her that good D, that good nerd D, as nerds have.
Yeah, look.
We're nerds.
Questionable writing.
How's our D? All right.
First of all, I'm married.
You are married.
No complaints from...
your wife's happy with your nerd D?
Well, look, I'm not going to post... I'm not going to pretend I'm Johnny Long Coxman over here, but I don't think...
It's not the Johnny Long Coxman podcast?
I don't think any surly barista I ever bedded or any overeducated Jew that I took home left unhappy.
All right.
I mean, they were unhappy with me for being lots of other things.
Well,
but,
Corey will bone you while he's allergic to cat hair. That's how committed he is.
Oh, my God.
To crazy girl pussy.
I dated a girl that had 6 cats.
Oh, well, that's too many.
I talked her down to 4.
What'd you do with the other two? Did you make some slippers? What'd you do? Yeah. What'd you do?
I fed them to Alf.
By the way, Max Wright dead.
I know.
Max Wright dead.
This show is This show is all over the place.
And I saw Max Wright in All That Jazz over the weekend. I watched, me and my girlfriend watched that because she liked Fosse Verdon.
Yeah.
She actually didn't like All That Jazz, which is kind of a weird movie if you see it now.
Well, she's a girl. Of course she liked Fosse Verdon. I liked Fosse Verdon.
I like Fosse Verdon too. It was great. But
Sam Rockwell is one of the great actors.
Yeah, Sam Rockwell and Michelle Williams are great. Yeah. Roy Scheider in All That Jazz was not...
You know what's crazy?
That's just a very weird 70s musical.
We are all over the place.
I know, but
you know
what's great?
You know what's great in All That Jazz?
And I got stuff to talk about.
I know. But they depict... They know she's a character in Fosse Verdon, but his actual girlfriend, Anne Reinking, is in All That Jazz.
Well, Jessica Lange was his girlfriend as well, and she's in All That Jazz.
That guy slanged that dick. That's the great swerve.
Yeah,
you're a dancer choreographer. Everybody thinks you're gay.
Yeah,
and he's just hip deep in poon.
Well,
I mean, goddamn.
If you're not gay and you can put women in your show, you get to fuck everybody that moves. Everything that moves.
Good work, Bob.
You know, we're comedians. That's where we fucked up.
Yeah,
we're in comics. There's like one woman to every 12 guys.
There are more girls now than there ever have.
I know.
Oh, by the way, on that note.
Oh God.
I hosted an open mic last week.
Yeah.
I personally reached out to at least 5 women.
Yeah.
And
boy, you're kicking the fucking hornet's nest.
Only
though.
One of them showed up. I'm giving out there.
You
are,
want to give women opportunities to perform on your comedy
shows. I
feel
most people in most guys who book shows are open to having women on the shows.
Yes.
I feel like, could there be more women involved in comedy? Sure.
Well, look, 90% of success is just showing up, and sometimes women. Women are probably less likely to show up for whatever reason, whether that's the fault of men or not.
Yeah. But anyway, we talked about this before.
Let's talk about it. Okay, so Euphoria you don't like. I think it's great. Ugh, but let's move on. Did you see...
You know what? There's some shows, just HBO, that I just go, like, the one about the dude who delivers pot in Brooklyn... Well,
no, I don't watch that either. But I mean, this show, though, has legitimately very, very good reviews across the board and a lot of buzz. And it's one of those shows that every week, every blog or every, you know, one of those websites writes their recaps of it. And there's a lot of discussion around it. So I think that is the buzzy show of the moment, is Euphoria. And I like it. So anyway, you didn't watch Documental ever on Amazon, did you? Even after I told you?
I did not.
Oh, it's great. And they put up the third season. Now, I think in Japan, because this is the Japanese show where they put a bunch of comedians in a house and they have to make each other laugh. And the winner is the guy that doesn't laugh. And it takes 6 hours and everybody puts up ¥1,000,000. And it's very, very funny and really weird. So they put up, now they've done like 7 of these in Japan, but because of they have to translate the whole thing and subtitle it, they have not done that yet in the States. They're only at season 3. But season 3 came on, and me and my girlfriend watched the whole thing. It was so great. And I will say this about Documental, and I was reading about it. You got to stick through the first 3. Now, if you're going to watch any of these documentals, and you probably should start with season 1 if you're going to watch them, Corey.
I got to tell you, this is now, you're telling me.
If you watch
you're
it.
Me, you're telling me Euphoria gets better on the 4th episode. You're telling me.
No, Euphoria is great all the way through. But I'm going to explain.
I ain't sticking through shit. If you don't grab me in the first
episode. No, it's Japanese and it's weird and you'll love it. This show, you have to meet, because the Japanese are so serious when they're interviewing the comics about what it's going to be like to live in this house and try to make each other laugh. They take it very seriously, like they're going to race in an F1 race or play in the World Cup. And so some of that comedy isn't there because it's them being so serious. And then, of course, they get in the house and everybody can't laugh. And then one guy's, you know, putting things inside his foreskin to make the other guys laugh. It's a riot. It's so funny. It really is one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Any of the 3 seasons. And I thought season 3, by the last 2 episodes, I mean, the whole thing's like 4 hours. All 5 episodes of this season. It's really, really, really funny. Everyone that I know that's watched it, any review I've read or anybody I've heard on a podcast talking about it says it's one of their favorite shows. It's completely fucking weird. I think some of the jokes Americans may not get because there's like references to they're making fun of other Japanese comedians that aren't in there that maybe you don't know, and so that gets a little weird. But
like
it is
Seiko Yamagita.
Well, it's funny because we told him, remember he did, he, we told, I told him to watch that show because it's on Amazon here in the U.S. And granted, he could watch it because he'd get the Japanese of any of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Facebook, like 2 weeks later, he goes, has anyone seen Documental on Amazon? And I wrote him, I go, you dumbass. We talked about it on the show. And he goes, yeah, I guess we did. It's a great show. That's on. All right, let's talk movies. I got 15 minutes, Corey.
Oh, I got six.
Aladdin right. blows. Aladdin blows.
Okay.
I saw Aladdin.
All right.
Here's the problem with Aladdin. I go to Aladdin. Now, it's already been out for a month, and it's doing well. It's making good money. My girlfriend's a big Aladdin fan. We went to the Broadway Aladdin. She loves the animated Aladdin. And I'm watching this Aladdin, and I go, this first half hour, they've done a really good job of making a live-action movie out of Aladdin. Mm. This is fucking fantastic.
Then Will Smith shows up?
No. Will Smith shows up.
Oh.
And here's the problem with Will Smith. Will Smith is fine. The blue version of Will Smith that comes out, because sometimes Will Smith is just a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he just goes, I'm just going to be a guy and kind of blend into the scene and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They like,
well, when he's a blue CGI
they
character.
Did like a motion capture of his face, and it doesn't work.
And then
it's not believable. Yeah, like he did the lines and it's his voice, but that doesn't work at all. So it's kind of bad CG. Right. The last half hour turns into Game of Thrones and I almost walked out. It's just a giant CGI battle in the sky, and it's just like, fuck, it's loud and obnoxious.
That's annoying.
It has none of the heart of
you know what?
The animated film.
You know what Stranger Things is really lacking?
You know, Jafar is trying to fuck the princess, and it's kind of like, that's weird.
It's probably real.
Because they made him a young guy instead of the old.
Is he Cretan. Angry about it, like on Euphoria?
It's Aladdin Blue, and I'm sorry, and I wanted to like it, and the first half hour was okay, but
one thing that Stranger Things is really lacking is that it's, you know, there's gore, but it's all CGI.
Yeah.
Like there's a recurring theme of, like, these rats that are infected, and they blow up.
Yeah.
They explode.
Yeah.
Well, in the 80s, you'd just put a bunch of blood squibs
sure,
in
yeah.
and blow up. You know what I mean? They're all it's a CGI rat explosion.
Yeah, I agree with you.
You can't do, one thing CGI will never do is goop.
Yeah.
Slime.
Right.
You always need the practical effects.
Yeah, no, and I liked, that's one of the things I didn't like about Stranger Things season one, when they finally showed you the monsters. They were kind of lame.
Yeah.
And I was kind of,
a lot of this season is relationship drama. But anyway.
So, Aladdin, no good. Spider-Man Far From Home. Did you go yet or no?
I think I might be over. I might be done with the Spider-Man.
I'll tell you, they did a better job with this than that first one. I actually enjoyed this.
Can't stand Zendaya.
Well, she's in this and she's not good, but... Corey throwing his coffee mug across the studio in protest of Zendaya.
I can't stand her.
I can't stand this bitch. Die!
I really hate her.
No, that's fine. She's not great, but I do think one of the things that they do good in this is that, you know, it does follow so if you haven't seen the Avengers movies, the last two, you know, you need to see those because it does pick off from there.
Uh-huh.
But then they also kind of go, we're going to divert a little bit. We're not going to be too... That's one of my big complaints about Homecoming, Spider-Man Homecoming, was too many Marvel references, too many in-jokes, too many comic book references. There's not as much in here, and I think the movie breathes a little bit better as a, like, comedy high school travelogue.
Well, it just gets too heavy with all the...
Yeah,
all the...
And I think that's when the movie's its best, is when it's being itself and it's not trying to be, you know... This is fan fiction, you know? So I liked it. I'm actually recommending Far From Home.
I had a major problem with Endgame in that they made everything depressing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they didn't fix it.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway.
But, you know, it's like the two guys are trying to have girlfriends, and they're on this, you know, Ned and Peter, mm-hmm. and, you know, they're on this road trip, and, of course, they have two idiotic teachers. You know, one of them is J.B. Smoove, which is a complete stunt casting, but whatever. Or, I mean, not a stunt casting or tokenism,
wait,
whatever
is he
it is.
Not going to be Sebastian the Crab in Little Mermaid?
I...
Under the sea!
Motherfucker.
What you got to do, Ariel, is get that ass.
Look, Larry. I'm doing Curb Your Enthusiasm now.
Larry, if an octopus bitch try to take your business, you got to get that ass.
You know, when you first see him on Curb... It's funny, if you watch that Curb now...
J.B. Smoove is very funny.
If you watch Curb now, that joke won't work because he's famous.
Mm.
But if you watch that, you went, this bit player is really funny.
Yes.
You know, this guy who should have two
now
lines.
Now you expect Leon's
now I expect
bits.
Him funny.
Yes.
Well, it's kind of like when I saw Bullets Over Broadway and Chaz... No, let me explain. I didn't know that Chaz Palminteri was a thing.
Oh.
And he was a guy who had like
now,
two lines.
And you know what? Today, people don't think Chaz Palminteri is a thing. I don't think that's a thing.
Just tell him to call me for Stranger Things. I've cleared my schedule. Tell these fucking Zagoots that I'm available.
I can be from the upside down.
Hey.
Okay.
I could be an 80s teenager.
Yeah. Why don't they have...
Come on. Got plugs for this.
What? They don't have any Goombas in Hawkins, Indiana in 1985?
What? Dyson can drive a limo? And be in Star is Born?
How is Chaz Palminteri not the only Italian that was not in The Sopranos? Right? You had every greasy meatball from here to
Was he in Boardwalk Empire?
Yeah, maybe.
He in Boardwalk Empire or not?
What's up with Chaz Palminteri?
I know the other guy. Who's the other guy that chews up the scenery? Bobby Cannavale.
I don't know.
But Bobby Cannavale was in Boardwalk Empire.
Well, Bobby Cannavale is like the Italian Mike Epps. He's got to be in everything. You know.
So
what I mean?
Find if Chaz was in. I don't think he was. Chaz might be too old.
I don't know what happened to Chaz Palminteri.
Well, Chaz Bono has a better shot of being in.
Speaking of which, did Joe Pesci retire?
Joe Pesci, I think, is in whatever Scorsese's doing next. He's in.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk about Rolling Thunder Review?
I didn't finish it.
I got to go. I recommend Far From Home. I'm going to write down Rolling Thunder for the next show because that is interesting. We both saw Yesterday.
Yes.
The little bit of Beatles fan fiction by Danny Boyle.
God, I don't want to open that can of worms.
Look, we're both big Beatles fans. Danny Boyle's a good director. This didn't work, and to me, Yesterday, Yesterday's not the worst movie you can see, don't get me wrong. You could go see Aladdin and fucking burn a $20 bill.
You could go see Son of the Mask.
You could go see Late Night with Mindy Kaling, which I don't know if I have time to review.
Now, you know what?
It was not good.
Here's my review. Mindy Kaling's in it. I'm out.
Well, you know, it wasn't
good. Bye!
It tried, but it failed. Okay.
Everything outside of The Office she's done, I've hated.
Late Night is a thing that you could, like... Oh, this is on cable this afternoon, this is Netflix. I'll open up a bottle of wine and put on my yoga pants if you're abroad and watch Late Night and have a good time.
I'll watch an Elizabeth Banks movie on HBO, you know, one of those dumb comedies she does.
Yeah.
Whatever, The Walk of Shame or whatever.
Yeah, okay.
Look.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
Yesterday failed, not because of the sci-fi, the Beatles don't exist premise, but because the love story doesn't work. It's unbelievable that this guy would, you know, it becomes this Faustian thing where you're supposed to, you know, give up all you love for success and fame. And he ends up, you know, giving that up for the girl, which isn't really believable. And apparently I sent you an article. I don't know where that is about, you know, there was the girl that was when he became famous, became the girlfriend. And they just completely cut her out of the movie. Which seemed like the movie sort of needed that, but I think they were worried that you were going to kind of dislike the lead character, and but the movie tries to make you only root for this guy. It's very binary in it's too binary in its morality.
Well,
where it should be shades of gray, it's very black and white. Brown and white.
Well, okay, it's Danny Boyle.
Yeah.
So it's well made.
Right.
It is well directed.
But
the scene, you know what I mean? The shots are interestingly composed. The editing's snappy. It moves quickly.
Yes.
I felt that I enjoyed Yesterday as it was playing.
Yeah.
I had a good time.
Yeah.
And then if I thought about it for even a minute.
Yeah.
It fell apart completely.
Right.
Because basically it is a big gloppy ball of pudding.
Well, they're trying to be...
By Richard Curtis, the director of...
Is it trying to be Slumdog Millionaire, but a musical or something? Is it
well,
trying
that's
to
Danny
be...
Boyle was trying to put
yeah,
the magic
he's putting
into it.
Okay,
it's, yes, the premise
you know,
is...
An Indian that you can... You know, everybody now, I know you're going to bring this up, but, you know, if you're a foreigner, we root for you now.
Well, he's a British...
The heroes of these movies he's are a, all, you know...
He's a British Indian guy named Jack.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know what I mean? It's not like, he doesn't, he's not a,
Sanjay.
Ranjit or something, yeah. You know, it's, I don't think anything in the script indicates that he's Indian.
Right.
His family.
His family is, yeah, yeah. I mean,
but his family doesn't act like that. There's nothing about his ethnicity that plays a part.
Maybe there isn't.
They didn't even make a fucking joke about sitar music.
I guess they didn't, yes.
That would have been the most obvious
joke. If he
joke,
played Within You, Without
if
You.
If he tried to play
yeah,
a
yeah.
George sitar song, I was
yeah,
like,
yeah,
I don't
yeah,
know
yeah,
what the
yeah,
fuck
yeah,
I'm
yeah,
doing
yeah.
with the sitar. Right. How? But I know that's, oh, God. Corey Hall's old school racism. Sign it.
Now I'm going to play Love You Too. This is a song I wrote.
Okay. How many great jokes about the George sitar songs get thrown in the toilet? Because, you know what I mean? He's going to bring back the whole Beatles catalog except those. Because those are too hard to play or they're not good. Or what.
Does Ravi Shankar exist?
Right. No one would have cared.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Well, okay, it does not... Okay, that part of it is aggravating.
Yeah.
That it postulates a world where the Beatles didn't exist. Insists to us that this is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Insists to us that the Beatles not existing means something. Then shows no evidence that the Beatles being gone changed the world.
You can think about any of these sci-fi plots in any of these movies, and yeah, they don't really hold up to
scrutiny. Do you know what I mean?
And that's fine, but again, I could suspend disbelief and do that. And the Beatles music is good. My girlfriend, who also kind of felt like the love story didn't work or it just kind of didn't make sense at a point, her point was, I said, what did you think of the movie? And she goes, it makes me want to listen to the Beatles. And I go, well, you know, if that's a review, then you liked it, and that's a good thing. And she doesn't like the Beatles as much as I do. And, you know, that's a good thing.
It does make you want to listen to the Beatles because his cover version, Himesh Patel, are fairly weak. And
they're not great.
They're like, what if they had the greatest songs in the world?
Yeah.
And a mediocre fucking acoustic guitarist played them.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't have been good.
Add some Ed Sheeran, and it's annoying.
The Beatles were a success for an extraordinary number of coincidences and occurrences that one, three guys that talented and Ringo grew up.
Oh, come on. Ringo was great.
I know. Whatever. I'm just saying, three guys that were that good. Like, George Harrison would have been a great lead guitarist in any band.
Well, yeah.
I think he was made better by Paul and John.
George Harrison, you know what George Harrison is?
Yeah.
The greatest background harmony singer of all time.
Yeah.
He probably is in rock and roll.
But by the way, George had his
I mean,
own...
no offense to the Beach Boys, but I mean, is anybody, I mean, whenever it's Paul and John singing lead, it's always George singing backup, and it's always great.
I'm just saying, George had enough talent that he could have been a star on his own.
Yeah.
He had his own singles hits and all the...
Yeah, he did. I mean, you know.
And he wrote great songs for the Beatles, too. But like,
he was a talented guy on his own,
But he was the third most talented guy in that group.
Yeah.
The incredible confluence of those three guys that lived within blocks of each other.
Yeah.
And the time they came out when the Britain was shaking off the post-war blues and the whole thing. You can't replicate that.
Yeah.
And you can't replicate the talent of John Lennon and Paul McCartney and their singing.
Yeah, I mean, to
and
just
the
have
look.
The... Yeah.
Because there's
yeah.
a lot of talk in this movie about the marketing, and the marketing people will go, is this as attractive as you can be? And granted, Ed Sheeran puts a lie to the needing to be attractive to be a
pop star. I get that too, but
because Ed Sheeran's a goofy looking ginger, and at least he was funny in it. But boy, all of the premises of like it introduced an interesting concept, then said that concept is only window dressing to this dumb romantic comedy.
Yeah, the romantic comedy is what doesn't work in this, not the sci-fi premise. Yeah.
The premise is what I was interested in.
Yeah, well, and I guess...
And you're also supposed to believe that this guy has Lily James looking over his shoulder, lovingly sniffing his farts,
yeah,
and he doesn't get that she's into him.
Yeah, that is a weird thing that they never did.
Which,
it.
I guess, is every romantic comedy's premise. Right. But
Before we go, because I really got to wrap up the show, should we do a bit of spoiler cast for Yesterday right here and discuss? I think you know what we're going to discuss. But if you haven't seen Yesterday and you think you're going to see it, this is the last thing we'll talk about, and then we'll say goodbye.
No.
So if
we will
do
the spoiler cast for Patreon members.
No. We'll do it right now. We'll do it in 2 minutes, hopefully. So if you don't want to know a big sort of plot point in Yesterday, and not that we're recommending the movie, but it is one of the things that they deliberately didn't put in the trailers because they thought it would be controversial, and there's certainly lots of articles you could read about this. I've seen a lot of debate about it. So we're going to do that right now. If not, we'll see you next time on Joel Radio. Send us money, maybe. Tell us if you will. So let's do that right now. Spoiler cast for Yesterday. There is a scene where there is a couple. They're actually, one fan is from Russia, and I forget where the lady's from, England somewhere. Mm-hmm. And they also had the same thing where they can remember the Beatles in the same way the lead character can, and they can't. Mm-hmm. And they say, and you think that they're going to drop a dime on them and expose them. Instead, they come up and they say, hey, thank you for reliving these songs. We don't play music, and thank you for bringing these back into public consciousness. And they also say, we did some research for you. They hand him a piece of paper. He goes through her address on a remote island, and who do they find there? Luke Skywalker. No, mm-hmm. But very similarly to that.
And that they wasted the appearance of the character?
They find a 79-year-old or 78-year-old John Lennon living in a little hut doing drawings on a beach somewhere. And of course, they apparently, now, I don't think they've publicly said it, they're trying to, but it's the actor Robert Carlyle.
That's what I thought he was.
Who's been in Trainspotting,
yeah,
in those movies.
And he's got appendages on. And
And he, you know, they did the thing with the wire round frame glasses and the long hair, so a very, you know, 1970s looking John Lennon, but mm-hmm. very old, which probably isn't how John Lennon would look now, but anyway. I thought his voice was off. I did not feel like he was really doing a good John Lennon impression.
No.
I thought that the story would go there eventually, like maybe we would see Paul or Ringo show up, and instead they went this way.
I hated it.
Did you hate it? I don't really know how I feel about it. But
you know what I hate? You know what I hated about this whole movie?
Yeah.
It's A Wonderful Life syndrome.
Yeah.
I hate,
because he says to him at one point, "Did you have a good life?" You know?
He's like, I had a lovely life.
Yeah.
But he didn't even do, well, I'm doing Paul, but he didn't do John.
That's all right, Lou.
He didn't do John. Anyway, we don't have 10 minutes to dial in our Lennon impressions, but it's insulting.
I'm not knocking it or putting it down.
It was insulting to the idea. I'm sick and fucking tired of Hollywood.
Yeah, well, it's
the dream factory.
I hear what you're saying.
Hollywood is a dream factory. All of the people in Hollywood who get in movies, well, not all of them, but you know what I mean? The dream is to be Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Then they insist on telling you that Brad Pitt's life sucks.
Yeah.
Or Elton John's life sucks. Or John Lennon would have been happy sitting around in, you know.
Well, if he wasn't famous, he wouldn't have been shot.
Well, okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's
true,
I guess.
Would the early death have been worth the life that he had?
I don't know.
The guy who reached pinnacles of fame that no one else in the world could know?
It's possible that the Beatles existed.
This movie.
But never had success. I mean, that could be what happens.
But John Lennon didn't do anything with his creativity.
There's jokes like there's no Oasis.
If there hadn't been a bit, yeah, well, that's obvious. Yeah. That's an obvious joke. But then there also could have been there are 15 other bands. Mm. There's no Badfinger, for God's sakes.
Yeah, probably no Badfinger.
I mean, this is an insulting movie for a fan of the Beatles.
You know, no Beatles, no Wings.
Well.
What would the traveling Wilburys have looked like?
They would have had no Jeff Lynne.
Yeah, they definitely wouldn't have had George Harrison, and they probably don't have Jeff Lynne. Which leaves you with Bob Dylan, Tom Petty, and
Roy Orbison.
But Tom Petty probably doesn't pick up a guitar if there's no Beatles. So now you got Orbison and Dylan sitting around with,
you know, Mel Tillis. I don't know, but look.
Roger McGuinn, maybe. I don't know.
Would the Birds have been a thing?
I don't know. Well, the Birds were more Dylan than Beatles.
But whatever.
Mike Love is in the Wilburys.
Oh, fuck.
Chuck Berry.
Bruce Johnson is in the Wilburys. Anyway. Look, it was not. It was insulting, the Lennon thing. I didn't like it. Because it basically, you're going,
this is Little Richard. Why am I not in the Wilburys? Now notice.
Shut up.
Notice.
Look, it would have been
how good my Little Richard is. That I opened with the first line being, "Hey, this is Little Richard." That's how confident I was in my.
I love how confident I was in my
Little Richard impression.
You know an impression's great when they're like, "Hello, I'm John." Wayne. they gotta tell you who they are.
Well, this is Ronald Reagan.
It's such a fucking like the fucking.
It's the lamest.
I know they gotta go.
And I'm absolutely guilty of that right now.
Jack Nicholson.
I'm outing myself.
Jack Nicholson here. They got a bucket. Like,
it would go something like this. Hey, I'm Little Richard. How come I wasn't in the Wilburys?
Fucking terrible.
Can you believe we put this behind a spoiler tag?
Oh, no.
My great Little Richard.
Well, okay. Little Richard exists in this world. Without the Beatles.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody else would have knocked him off.
The brothers. Fats Domino.
Yeah. Anyway, what's insulting about this movie is they basically tell you this guy gets the opportunity to be the biggest star in the world.
Yeah.
And says, I'm going to piss on that.
Well.
Because I want to be with this girl.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Which, by the way, he could have been with that girl anyway.
Yeah. You can be famous and be with it. You don't have to get, it's not. That Arthur thing where you have to give up the money to get the girl.
By the way,
you can have that girl and be famous. It's
both
okay.
Paul and John ended up having the loves of their lives.
Yeah.
I mean, regrettably, it was
they met them
John
after they were famous.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Linda and Paul had a great long marriage. It is possible. You can do that. And the movie didn't really impart any message.
No.
Like, yeah. Oh, okay. Better ending. I'm going to write a better ending.
Right. Yeah, what's the better ending?
So in the ending of the movie, he's at like the O2 Arena.
Okay.
Or Wembley or whatever it was, right? Where were they?
Ed Sheeran was in Wembley and
they were
opened.
Wembley.
But yeah, okay.
So he comes out and does the whole
Wembley
Beatles
Stadium,
thing, right?
Yeah.
And he comes out and does a whole concert and the whole thing. And he's debuting all these songs.
Yeah.
And then he goes, I don't want any of the money, and the Beatles wrote this.
Yeah.
And people go, who? But instead.
And then it just continues on.
But the whole point is, he was a songwriter, nobody noticed his songs.
Yeah.
And he should have been like, but I learned something. Because I was trying to sing other people's words, and I was trying to make music about things I didn't know. You know, at one point he goes to Liverpool to try and like get the feeling.
Yeah, well, he wanted to prove that he was inspired to write Penny Lane, because if he had never been to Liverpool, people would have been like, "Well, how do you know about these obscure? How do you know about Strawberry Fields?"
Which, by the way, would be 50 years after they had existed for the Beatles, so it wouldn't be the same things. Anyway.
Well, but Strawberry Fields was destroyed in the movie.
Yeah. So he didn't learn shit.
Well,
anyway, but he goes, right. He tries to go and go, well, I got to make people understand what I'm talking about. And instead, what they should have done is he should have had a fucking song that Ed Sheeran wrote or something for the movie.
Yeah.
And he goes, but this is from my heart.
Yeah.
And he sings it to Lily.
Okay. And it would have been something
big fucking hit song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was his song that he wrote for
her. Oh, he would have, okay.
Right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Would that, you know what I'm saying, though? Would that not have been a better fucking ending?
Well,
because the whole point of the movie is he's like, I'm living somebody else's life in the masquerade, but here's the song that I wrote about her, and she'd fucking turn into a big puddle of wet pussy because he wrote this song for her and sang it in Wembley. This would have been a better ending.
All right, well, speaking of endings. Now look, here's my review. If you wanna waste 2 hours of your life, go see Yesterday, and you probably will because you just wasted 2 hours of your life listening to JoelRadio.net.
Wow.
So on that note, thank you, Corey Hall,
good night,
for
everybody.
Being here again. If you think you would like to donate or send us money, please let us know. We'll let you know how you can contribute and what rewards, whether it be the forms of bonus shows, maybe some of the old bonus shows we could give away. We could give away. I like giving away our personal garage sale. I kind of like that idea as a thing. Give us tips on what to buy Gilbert Gottfried for a gift. I don't know. I mean, what can I tell you? But anyway.
Random junk. It's going to be a good way to clean out the closet. We're going to throw random junk in there.
Anyway, thanks for listening to JoelRadio.net. We got to go. We got tacos to eat, and what else do we got to do? I got to watch Euphoria. Go watch Documental, though. You'd like it. I know you think you won't like it.
Which platform is that on?
It's on Amazon Prime. It's Hatoshi Matsumoto Presents Documental.
How did I miss that?
Well, I know. That's why I think if you didn't, if you don't search for it, I don't know if it's going to pop up.
So much.
And you have to turn the subtitles on in the menu, or else
I'm about done with the Netflix. Takes 20 minutes to find something on there.
Yeah, well, I'm telling you, listen to me. That's why I used Entertainment Weekly. Rest in peace. Can't know.
My wife watched the Ali Wong special.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And now I got every comedy special.
Didn't you have to watch Always Be My Maybe or whatever?
I did not watch that.
My girlfriend turned that on and turned it off after 30 minutes. Without me having to be in the room. This was on her own.
Oh, my.
Anyway, we'll catch you next time on Jolt Radio. Thanks for coming back.
All right.
We'll see you. Bye-bye.